going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. We are back recapping Bachelor stuff. Recapping a recap. I don't know what this episode is going to be. I think we'll just shoot the breeze. Chrissy, how you doing, by the way?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. I'm excited for recapping the recaps, getting through some Bachelor.
Yeah, you know, in case you want your Bachelor goss, you know, when this time is going on, we figured... I always find that we update people on our all things Bachelor related hot goss, hot topics. And then we do have Sean and Catherine Lowe, the focal points of this recap. And it was fun. It was fun to catch up with them. Had them on, you know, get the little, yeah. You know, some, I don't know if we drop any revelation revealing. I don't know. I don't know.
It's nice to see what their life is like now. They've got like three toddlers, like what they're doing work wise. It was good. Yeah,
They're really removed from the hot goss of it all. Even though they are thought by many to be figureheads, statesmen yeah. And women of the franchise. But yeah, I don't know what's going on in the old. What's Bachelor World right now? I don't know.
What's going on in Bachelor World? With a new segment called Hot Goss.
Hot Goss? I don't know. We did this before. I will, you know what? Here, I will say, I got, you know, with the things that are going on in our country right now, I've been asked a ton about a lot of different stuff, but yeah. I have been asked about my thoughts on Hannah Brown finally speaking up. Great, I guess is my response. You know,
yeah,
awesome.
She educated herself a whole bunch.
Sure, I've you know, you never really know, like if it's just people who are just the loudest or how many. But you know, it's like a lot. Of, you know, I was critical of Hannah. Other people were as well, and so they were quick to be like, "Well, are you going to applaud her or pat her on the back now that, or not? They didn't say pat her on the back, but are you can." You know, say something nice now that she's done this. And my response was like, well, I don't think anyone of us should be commended for doing the right thing or the bare minimum.
Yeah.
I think it's great that she has used this opportunity to educate herself. And but I do think it's the bare minimum. And I think it's the bare minimum for all of us, even the people listening, to try to educate ourselves. And if you have any type of platform, to use it. So I think that's great. That being said, I am glad that Hannah is, it sounds like she's on the right path, and I do think it's great that she seems to be embracing this responsibility, and I hope to see more, not only from her, but from everyone. So glad that she's on that path, and I hope I get a chance to connect with Hannah at some point in the future. So, yeah, that's the... It's the old update on the old.
That's the update. What about what do you think about everyone talking about the diversity in the Bachelor world? I know Rachel's really speaking up about it a lot.
Rachel has. I know our friend Brett, who helped us recap "Listen to Your Heart," he is launching an initiative.
It's the Bachelor Diversity Campaign. So, and it's launching on. You know,
I guess last night they did. What are my thoughts on that? Listen, The Bachelor has had one black lead, Rachel, and no black bachelors. So there's, I mean, you look at that alone, and there's no argument to be made on whether ABC and Warner Brothers, who you know produce a show, could do better. Right, they clearly haven't done enough. That's not a defensible argument, knowing they've had 30 plus seasons and one person of color be their lead. I will say that in my time of being a part of the show, in terms of you know being on the show and getting to know the producers, there is a big effort in terms of having people of color on the show. I don't know, you know, like, for example, my season, a third of the women, I believe, were women of color. Yeah. I think that's a step in the right direction. But I do know that, again, from a producer standpoint, they make a lot of effort to seek out, because they do scouting too. Like, they don't they don't rely a lot. I mean, they don't rely at all on applications. So they are scouting, and I know like they make a concerted effort there. I know, especially in the past few years, it's been a big initiative for them to do that. But they need to do better. I mean, I think it's that simple. You can't have one lead, and say you're trying as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Right. I think they would acknowledge that. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for them, but that'd be my. You know, some people are the producers I know who are most responsible for that, and by responsible I mean like they are heavy in the casting process. Yeah, like. Yeah. They don't speak publicly. I don't even know if they're allowed to speak publicly. I don't, you know, in terms of...
I would think not.
In terms of that. But I don't want people to think that they're not trying. But they could do better.
They could do better.
They could do better.
So what do you think about... Do you want to talk about Garrett, since we're going to have him?
Yeah, Garrett. Garrett making some noise. You know, that's exhausting, man. Like, yeah, I got blocked by Garrett. I don't know why. I saw someone mention he posted about, I don't know if he actually mentioned blue or said Blue Lives Matter, but I saw on Twitter and I just went to go check it out. Just be like, oh, what did this guy do? What did he do? And then I found out I was blocked. So like, why was I blocked? I don't ever think I've ever been to Garrett's page. So then I Vile Files has an Instagram account. So I'm like, I'm guessing I'm not blocked on Vile Files. Sure enough, we're not. And so I decided to, I mean, listen, you can have an opinion whether it's my business or not, but I would rather choose to speak up about especially topics like this, as someone who wants to be an ally for people of color. It is exhausting, but I was critical of Garrett. And I'll say to Garrett's credit, he didn't delete my comment and he didn't delete Becca's, which I don't think he should be commended, but he could have, right? And he left it up there for an argument to be had and a discussion to be had.
And that's the whole point, right? Is to have the discussion.
Yeah, but anyways, I DM'd Garrett and through the Vile Files and said, hey man, I know I commented on your page, so I just wanted to extend the opportunity for you to come on and have a chat if you want. I did not expect him to reply, and he did. So I think we are going to record an episode this week. He suggested that Becca, his fiance, not Becca, not baby Becca, who was critical of him, but his fiance, and I think we're going to do that, right? We'll see if it actually happens, but I hope it is a positive conversation, and yeah. I am interested in having a conversation with him and Becca about, like, what is it like to be in a relationship and having maybe opposing views politically or, you know, but I also hope that... you know, I don't think the current conversation that's going on in our country should be politicized, right? I think this should be something that everyone should get on board. I think it's a conversation about optics and about time and a place and things like that, and understanding kind of the temperature of the room, so to speak. And,
yeah, you said something like earlier that was like, it's not about politics, it's about humanity.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I'm confident, like it seems, we all seem to want to have this conversation to happen, so we're set to record it this week, and if all things go well, that episode will drop next Wednesday. So we'll see, but I do want to give Garrett credit for, I wasn't expecting him to reply.
Good for him.
So we will see how that goes.
I'm excited. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, because like, listen, I've talked about, I support police. I very much support police. My brother's a cop, you know, I love him to death. And I know it's not, now more than ever, it's not easy. I don't know, but I cover, it's a very difficult time, but that wasn't really the point I was making. And, I think right now it's about having the focus on the people who, quite frankly, haven't had a lot of attention to their plight and their position in some time. And they, you know, so
keeping the conversation going.
Keeping the conversation going. So we will see. I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, it's heating up outside, and you know what? I don't know how outgoing you are to like check out bars and restaurants with the whole quarantine, but we're getting stir crazy, and it's warming up if you're in cold areas. So yep. At least you can go out in the yard. And yes. I think we need some new patio furniture to go with your outdoors experience.
Yeah, everyone's outside gardening, putting their patios together.
We've talked about Article a lot on our show. I love Article Furniture. They're here to make your dream patio a reality with weather-resistant dining sets, loungers, and sofas. Article's selection of outdoor furniture makes it easy to create your patio oasis in time for the summer season. Article combines the curation of a boutique furniture store with the comfort and simplicity of online shopping. And you guys know I've bragged about my Article couch. I love it. People love it who come by. The ladies enjoy it. It's super comfortable. It's stylish. It makes me feel hip and modern. It was super affordable. And honestly, again, they make the whole experience great. They ship it. If you don't like it, you can exchange it. Their prices are amazing, especially for the quality that you're getting. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. So go to article.com/VIALL and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/VIALL to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. ShipStation. Well, you guys, you know I'm using ShipStation every day to help me run my business Natural Habits. People are relying on shipping now more than ever. With your small business because of obviously things like COVID. So if you're looking for convenience, if you're looking for a way to be more efficient with your shipping, save money, they work with USPS, FedEx, UPS, Amazon Fulfillment. You get great analytics. It's perfect for customer service. All your information on who you're shipping to, it's absolutely fantastic. And as I've said, I use it for Natural Habits every day. I don't know where I would be without ShipStation. I can't recommend it enough for any type of small business, at-home business. It's absolutely fantastic. It truly is the bones of my business. So right now, the Vile File listeners can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when they use offer code VIALL. Make sure your business is ready to meet the demands of every delivery culture. Get started at ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in VIALL. ShipStation.com. Then enter code VIALL. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. And one more thing, when I say it's free to try, I mean, it's really free. You don't have to put in a credit card. So you're welcome.
How about some other Bachelor quick thoughts? Let me ask you. Like Colton and Cassie. Quick thought.
It was a matter of time.
What about Victoria and Chris Souls?
I know as much as you know. I mean, I guess they're dating. I mean,
they're dating. Yeah.
You hear a report about. Source.
What is she in Iowa? Iowa with him?
I mean, she was clearly in Iowa, right? I mean, I know she's there. She hung out with Kelsey.
Yeah.
But it's so like. I don't think she it didn't seem like she was hiding the fact that she was in Iowa.
No.
So
I dig it. I can't wait to see what happens.
You know, I'm all if
I wouldn't have called that one, but I dig
don't think
it.
I don't think anyone would have. But if they're in love, good for them. I hope it works out. And you know, we got an update from this episode, you know, Kelly. I give the show some shit, but like the show is still a little bit resistant of social media.
Yeah.
Like on the show, there's like, oh, Peter's here to announce for the first time. This is like, we know. Like, I'm pretty sure they announced
it. 12 pictures posted of them.
Like, I know. Right. Like, we all know together. But sure, you guys, like, all right, what's the big surprise, Bachelor? But yeah, I love how they had Barb on. I don't know if that was meant to be like a self-aware joke of like, having Barb, but I guess, you know, Barb, Peter, and Kelly, the happy throuple.
I love this journey for them.
I mean, I guess. But, I mean, listen, I'm I they sound like they're very into each other. And I will say, as far as The Bachelor goes, it really doesn't matter unless, you know, Peter and Kelly could end up having four kids. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Colton and Cassie broke up, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine too. But as far as like who is the successful bachelor right now, Peter more so than Colton. In terms of like successful in finding love, right?
That's true.
I didn't.
Are you nervous about like, they're not only showing like one of your seasons, they're going to show like two of your seasons. Besides that, we've already talked about your hairstyles on these shows.
Yeah, my biggest regret is definitely my haircut on Caitlin's season. And although I definitely had a glow up on my season of The Bachelor, I don't know why I wore my hair so high most of the season. Like I went from like Bachelor in Paradise, and it was like really my, for a lot of reasons, Bachelor in Paradise was really, you know, where I was made to be. Yeah. But it was so humid that it really just was like great for my curls, and I didn't really do anything, and it just was like curly beach hair. And then I decided to like kind of blow it out for my season of The Bachelor, and it was like annoyingly high. It still looked fine. But like I literally have only worn my hair like that when we filmed The Bachelor, and that's it. I don't know like why did I choose to have these like insane hairstyles? I spend way less time on my hair now.
I love that this is what you're worried about. It's magical. It's fantastic.
I'm really bothered by it. Yeah.
It's the hair.
I want, you know, listen, the only, you know, like the only upside of them recapping seasons I was on is to somehow like, hey, if you guys want to like, you know, follow me, great, you know, like I'll take some new followers, you know, bring them on. But now they're just they're like, why would I follow this fucking haircut? I don't know, like why, like although
its own Instagram.
Although if you see the before and after, you would think that I would probably like, you'd probably think, oh, look at the new Nick. You would probably think that I would give up some like killer like hair tutorials and like glow up tutorials. I probably should do that.
You could do that. Your own glow up, your glow up YouTube.
Yeah, I'm a glow up.
It'll be good. A little brush, hair dryer. Great. Yeah. I love it. I'm here for it. I also like that journey for you. It's so good. Oh, boy. Well, I'm excited because of Sean and Catherine. It was fun to talk to them.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess we should just kick it off to Sean and Catherine now. It was fun to catch up with them. You'll have to bear with us in the first 10 minutes or so. They put their three kids to bed, and then we decided to jump on a Zoom. The young one woke up. There's a little bit of crying in the background. Hopefully you find it adorable. We know it's there. We don't talk about it while it's going on. So like, just know it's not like we don't hear the kid. So
not bear like with they us. Didn't check on the baby.
Yeah, the baby's fine. They're not negligible parents. Sometimes the kid just has to cry himself to sleep, you know?
Sometimes.
It's fun. So yeah, I guess let's just get to Sean and Catherine. What's up, Sean and Catherine? How you doing?
Doing great. Let's just jump right into it.
Great. Yeah, that's what we usually do. Yeah, so I figured, you know what? We saw a recap of your season. No better time to have you guys on the show, catch up. I know you guys already did that with Chris, so I figured, you know, whatever, we'll just shoot the breeze. And I mean, I obviously, we can touch back on the show itself and the recap. I'm sure you get asked a lot of questions about this, but I mean, like, how much are you guys, if at all, like, get asked or consider like your season, and what did it, with this whole recap coming up, did other people from your season, specifically maybe you, Catherine, like you connect with that you might not have heard from, like the women of the season?
I mean, I posted recently about all the women. I tried to tag as many as I could. So just kind of hearing back about their experience on it and their support is actually really nice.
Oh, that's
I mean, because, you know, you spend a ton of time with the contestants, more so than the lead, when you're trying to get to know them. So I heard from a couple of them, and they're all just really nice. And I'm just enjoying going back into that time of us meeting, it just gives me butterflies again, even just talking to the girls.
So I know, like, you know, when I ended up with Vanessa, and I've never won, but I've heard this with other winners that,
and I empathize with Vanessa when it was going on.
Like, it's really, really hard to be the winner for a lot of reasons. And I felt like I've heard this more. I heard this with Lauren on Ben's season, is that, like, everyone's nice to you and happy for you, but you almost, especially when the show's airing, at least Vanessa did, kind of felt like an outsider. Did you have that same experience at all? Where, like, you almost, like, had to take a break because you had to be secretive, you couldn't really tell anyone all the details, or did you not experience that?
Well, I get what you're saying now. I didn't feel like an outsider in this season, but I definitely felt out-of-body experiences going through watching it and living the life that I had prior. So, you know, I had my job at Amazon before, and I had all my friends, and I had all this stuff. And when I when I came back after, you know, being in hiding, or not, I guess, after we had gotten engaged and we had to be in hiding but still live our normal lives, yeah, it was a very bizarre situation because you couldn't be as open with people as you normally would have been. And I knew that I had this, like, really exciting secret that I really wanted to share with everybody, but it felt really disingenuous to have relationships and know that I couldn't be completely honest with them. So I get in that situation, it does feel like you're outside of your body and not really living your truth in those everyday moments.
Yeah. I mean, I just, it's kind of tough. Like I said, being the winner, it felt like it, in terms of at least my experience and other people, just, and I was just curious your point of view, just because you're excited on one side and then you're the only one who had you're the only one who won, right? Everyone else who's on that season has the experience of getting broken up with.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems like, why would you need someone to relate with you? But at the same time, it was, I just remember Vanessa experiencing that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's obviously there's like a ton of factors in this that are bizarre.
Yeah.
Rewatching it and knowing that your family's watching your fiance kiss other people, or your boss is like, oh, that's what you've been doing when you were gone, this is what you've been doing. So it's just, it really feels now, looking back, that it wasn't my life that it happened
Interesting.
To.
Interesting. Huh. So wait, did your boss really, like, did he just not watch The Bachelor and he wasn't sure?
No, like, just kind of like what exactly I experienced. I remember walking through the halls. I think it was the fourth week that we were on the show, but it was like, or the fourth week that it had aired. And my boss's boss, this like huge guy at Amazon, really nice, but like intimidating, your boss's boss. And he said, like, nice job last night. And it was like the first time we had kissed. And I thought that was the weirdest comment that you could make, because we like kissed and you watched us and it's my fiance. And so there's all these weird things going on in your head because you just want somewhat normalcy, but you don't know what that is anymore. When you go back to that life. But it was fun, and I wouldn't trade it, but it definitely was very bizarre.
I had a different experience too, where, you know, my first season was Andy's season, and my bosses had to come up to me after each episode and be like, well, we don't hate you. It's fine. We know, we know who you are. I'm like, oh, thanks. Well, I was a little worried, I'll be honest. Sean, I actually had a question for you. I know when your season aired, I had seen like a couple episodes. Like, I wasn't watching The Bachelor at that point, but I had a lot of friends who were fans. And so it was your season that my friend was watching where she submitted me. So I didn't see the whole season, but since then I've heard a lot of stories of you saying how, like, you know, Catherine was like, you fell in love with her late, or I don't know what the actual story is. Is that totally true? For me, like, I hear it like, oh, as soon as you get out of the car, you kind of had a sense of like, all right, this, I don't know, I'll wait for my one-on-one. But like, at what point did you really start thinking?
I thought that's how it would be. If first of all, I went into it skeptical, cynical, thinking, all right, this is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity. You get to be the lead on a TV show, travel the world. It'll be really cool. I thought if I do happen to fall for someone, I'll probably know right away. Honestly, that wasn't the case. I think they cast a lot of great women on my season. And I think I made the mistake going in thinking, okay, when I'm with Catherine, I'm going to give her my undivided attention. I'm just going to solely focus on her. And the same goes for everybody else. And so what happens when you take that route is at the end of the season, you've got like four or five women who are all great in their own right for their own reasons. And I just hadn't really stopped to really think about, all right, long-term of these four or five women, who could I really see myself with? And it was the last week or two where I thought, you know, Catherine seems to be the only one that I would consistently think about when I'd go back to my hotel room at night. Like, I just wanted to be with Catherine, or, you know, I had the most fun with Catherine. She was always the one on my mind. And so that's when it really started to dawn on me. All right, Catherine is this woman that I am falling in love with on The Bachelor, which sounds ridiculous.
I mean, you know, everyone knows you're quite literally the only Bachelor ever to be with the person they actually picked at the final rose. Colton and Cassie just broke up. I've never met Lauren, but it seems like Ari and Lauren are going to totally make it work. And then you have the first Ari.
Jason.
Yeah. And so like they're together, right? But mm-hmm. you're still the only Bachelor who ever, you know, so like all jokes aside, like what did you just get lucky? I mean, obviously Catherine's great, but like that's 0 for 24? I mean,
yeah.
Even you know dumb what? Luck, you would think that someone else would have been like, oh, fuck it, I'll make it work.
Yeah, you know what, man? People always ask me, like, why is the success rate so low? And in all honesty, if you factor in the women, the bachelorettes who have gotten married, I think it's surprisingly high for the set of circumstances that they throw us in. Like, you meet someone, you fall in love in this manufactured setting, and most likely you're coming from two different cities, two different backgrounds, two different ways of life. One person, if not both, are going to have to give up that way of life, leave their job, leave their friends, leave their family. And I give Catherine all the credit because she made these enormous sacrifices, leaving her life behind in Seattle and moving to Dallas, Texas, where she knew nobody. And it was really, really hard for her. I'm speaking for her right now, but it was hard for her to make that big change. And it was hard for us as a couple, but I guess to answer your question, it was just a matter of commitment. I think there were several times where if we were being honest with ourselves before we got married, like, hey, it might just be easier to throw in the towel. We just committed to stay together.
That was my next question. Like, did you guys ever get to a point where like, maybe this won't work?
We had a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't even have each other's phone numbers until you have a ring on your finger. I mean, that already sets you up for like a very weird beginning of your relationship. It feels so backward. And so you're doing all these things where you don't even know these person's like tendencies in normal day to day. Are those things that are going to bother you? Are those things that maybe you should empathize with me on? We don't really understand anything. We're like, he's from Dallas, Texas. I'm from Seattle, Washington. Those are 180 different landscapes. Everything about those cities and the people in them are very different. So coming into that, not really understanding the other person, like the walk of life is really hard. So I think everything that we were thrown at in that scenario that's already exemplified, like it's already harder than normal relationships, you're definitely wanting to be like, this is not what I signed up for. This is really hard and
yeah.
I give up. You know, there's a ton of times.
Like and that. Then on top of that, add the component of everyone's pulling everyone's at you for at you. This and that reason. There's money being thrown at you and there's just a lot of distractions. So I think I did get very lucky, but at the same time, like I totally get it. I get mm-hmm. why most relationships don't work out because I wouldn't expect them to work out.
What question I had, social media existed back then and it was like more Twitter, but it's certainly not, it's like a fraction of what it is now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you must be thankful you guys did it when you guys did it now, because it, again, I think it, with social media now, it makes it that much harder to kind of ignore the bullshit, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm happy for sure. I mean, there could have been so many more layers to all this. People have exes that are on social media that you're like, on top of that, you have to see their relationships before all this show, before all this stuff. So like, I think that would have been even harder for me.
I didn't think about that. I was thinking more about the girls who know there's money to be made if they can get a following. If you get on the show, you get a following.
Yeah.
So it's probably tougher to get good girls, I would think.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's gotten, when I became The Bachelor, it was like, I remember because it was right after JoJo, and I remember JoJo's season was like the first season I remember like watching it as a viewer and like thought the guys, especially like seeing their activity on social media while the show was airing, it felt like for the first time ever, there was a lot of people who, you know, weren't there for the right reasons. It was like, you know, minus the whole like, are you here for the right reasons? Are you here for the right reasons? It seemed like for the first time it was obvious. And then I became The Bachelor, and I'll remember like as we were filming, you know, as women were leaving early, like the first 2 weeks, so like you're just getting going, right? And they were already texting producers about Paradise, right? And so that makes you start wondering, it's just like, who, like there's everyone, I don't believe any of you, you know? It's just
Yeah, definitely ulterior motives. And that, I think that definitely would have added another factor into our season.
When I was on The Bachelorette, I'm pretty sure all the guys just wanted a free vacation. That's why I was there. I just wanted a free vacation.
No, I think, yeah.
That was the only ulterior motive.
No, like I said before, I think before social media really blew up, I think no one came for love and everyone came for the experience. Right. And sir, you were like open to the pop. It was like, sure. Like, fine. I don't know. She's hot. Maybe Andy, like, sure. Maybe, I don't know. She seems cute, but I want to go to Italy. So I'll show up, you know, that was literally, and I think that's fine. But now it's just like, there's a playbook now and it's kind of like, it's weird that way. Who are you still friends with, Catherine, from the season?
Friends with Leslie. Who got fifth.
Didn't she did, she the one who dated Dean for a hot minute?
She did, that's right. From Winter Games.
I haven't met her, but
she's awesome. She's really cool. And then Robin, who did a backflip on the intro to his season 2, and she fell.
Oh, she tried to do a backflip, landed on her head.
It sucks. Oh, did she? People know her. She's really cool.
They showed that in the recap.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. It's funny.
Impressive.
She doesn't
hang
down. I mean, how could you do that?
You know?
Yeah.
I actually, who is the girl who Sean, if she was the girl you were in a Jeep with and you kept messing up?
Selma.
Yeah.
I had the biggest crush on her when I was like,
gorgeous.
I remember watching like an episode and being like, that's the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life.
That's what I thought during the season too.
So yeah, if you're out there, Selma, I had the hots for you. I do remember
he's
that.
Married with a kid.
No, I'm just saying. I just remember being like, "Oh, like she." I'm not like shooting my shot here.
Hey, why not?
I'm just suddenly. I'm reminiscing, and I forgot she existed, and then I watched the recap. I was like, "Oh, I had such a big crush on that chick." Yeah, that's pretty funny. So, what else is new? What are you guys up to otherwise? I mean, I don't know how we can recap and recap
over here. It's a zoo.
Every day, taking care of kids.
All right. Is that the full-time gig right now?
Well, I mean, we both have full-time jobs, but yeah, taking care. We basically have two full-time jobs each.
Are you guys in Texas? We're in Texas.
Yeah, we're in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How are things going in Dallas, like quarantine style?
You know, it's starting to open it up a bit.
Pretty moderate, I would say.
But you know, now we've got a whole new bag of problems to deal with the rioting and all that. Yeah. So all things considered, I think we're coming out of it okay.
And we're
here
really,
in Dallas.
We're really blessed. We haven't been as affected in terms of, you know, COVID and our jobs and all those things. So we're definitely no reason to complain.
Yeah.
So Catherine, I know you mentioned something on your post and I think some outlets picked it up and you mentioned how when you first went on, like you, and especially back then, I mean, there's been some progress, but back then there was a lot of jokes about like being the token person of color. You know, it's just like there's one or two people of color and they last 2 or 3 weeks. And you said something about you felt almost as if, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you felt like that's why you were there.
I mean, definitely, I'm sure it played a part. I mean, there's 10,000 entries every season. And there's no, I know casting does a beautiful job. Every season they do a really good job. And I definitely think that my ethnicity played a factor because they wanted, you know, a variety of types of people. And I didn't, on paper, we don't look like we would have at all been a match. So I think that has to do with my ethnicity, because if we came from a similar background and I just happened to be ethnic, then maybe I would have been like, okay, well, maybe not. But I think it definitely did. And I don't fault them for that. I totally get it. And I want to be represented. I want our community to be represented. So I didn't feel any guilt, or I didn't feel anything besides knowing that they had positions to fill, and I'm happy I got one, you know? In this situation, I am glad that I got to meet him and show who I am and not, you know, not just be there for a couple weeks to fill that, you know, spot that they just needed to have.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think, I mean, there's been some topics, and obviously with everything going on, and we discussed it on the top of the show, but, how do you guys feel about like The Bachelor and them casting and getting more representation of people of color?
I think I know, just knowing the producers, they've made a concerted effort to put more people of color on the show. Yeah. I know everyone's clamoring for a black male lead, which, by the way, I was campaigning.
Markel.
I was campaigning for Markel years ago.
You were. I remember that.
I don't even remember whose season. Was he on your season?
Yeah, I was on Andy's season.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't mean to.
No.
I didn't bring him over you. No. But anyway, I thought he would have been great.
I had no shot at the time.
He was, you know, he's a good-looking guy, personable. I thought he would have been a great lead.
Are you guys, I mean, how involved are you? Like, you guys, in terms of, like, Bachelor World, you guys, I feel like you're kind of pretty removed. I mean, you'll have your tweets.
She still watches. I got to be honest with you. I checked out maybe 3 years ago. And it sounds, every time someone asks me about it, it sounds so hypocritical, because I'm like, I just can't take it. Like, I'm an old man. I'm at the age where I just can't sit down and watch 2 hours of drama every night. Like, I would rather go watch the Discovery Channel or something else.
I get it.
And realizing it's completely hypocritical, because my whole family started on The Bachelor, but yeah,
no, it's pretty not, removed. It's not hypocritical. I mean, like, I mean, I'm still watching, because now I'm like podcasting about it, or I get asked about it, and it's like, fine, but I fast forward to a lot of things.
And to be fair, I didn't really watch it before I was The Bachelor. You know, my sister signed me up. I was never like a big P1 of The Bachelor. So
do you guys, despite being totally happy, did you ever watch Paradise? Maybe not. Maybe that's
love Paradise.
Yeah, I've seen some.
I love Paradise.
Do you ever wish, like, not that you're not happy with Sean, but do you ever wish you could have The Bachelor in Paradise?
I would have been terrible on Paradise.
Why? It's so much fun. It's like so different.
I'm sure it's fun, but it's a mind F. No, thank you.
Oh no, it's so much. Who told you that?
No, I mean, it just looks like one. Oh, okay. This guy that I'm talking to is about to go on a date with somebody else. That sounds terrible.
I mean, that might have.
Like, at least you walk in.
Sounds like
in.
A Bachelor.
But you walk in knowing there's just one guy who's going to be dating this many people. But if you make
that's The Bachelor. Yeah, that was like, you had to watch Sean go on all these dates. On Bachelor of Paradise, most people, it's just like, hey, do you want to like hang out? Yeah. All right. And then you just do that the whole time. And you just like sit around all day and talk.
I'd rip my heart out if they were like, no, I think I want to go on a date with this person. I think I'd be terrible.
If that happens, if you were stuck in a love triangle, the classic Bachelor in Paradise love triangle, I'm sure that would be not fun. But
yes, not fun.
What projects are you up to these days?
She's got her stationery company, and we've got our furniture company, but that's
it. What is that? What is that? I didn't know you
were stationery company.
Yeah.
Well, or
your furniture company. Are you like making furniture?
So, mine is just a luxury stationery business in Dallas. It's also transitioned into like a pre-planning luxury gifting service. So that's all like, top-notch gifts that are catered and curated for specific people during like your year. So, you know, all the gifts that you're going to have that you're going to give this year. So Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, birthdays, Mother's Day, all those dates, you pretty much front load them and we help you choose a gift for those specific people. And even if it's like 10 months out, we'll hand deliver it and we'll write a note. So it's mostly for like really busy executives who just don't know what to get people and don't want to deal with remembering dates. So it's a really exciting venture, but we're doing it all in Dallas and it's all hand delivered, really nice gifts. And we're working with some really good partners. So that's what I'm focusing on. Obviously right now is not the time to be doing that. So we're doing my stationery, which is they're most known for like our plantable cards. So our plantable cards like sell out every time. We do herbs and wildflowers and it's like a note that is also a gift. So those are really, really popular. But that's what I've been doing. And cool. I have an infant.
That's so cool.
Two toddlers. So.
And then you guys have a furniture company?
Yeah. Yeah. We,
like whittling wood.
Yeah. No, I am not the one, crafting the furniture. We've got a manufacturer we work with, but
how'd you get into that?
I'm an entrepreneur and always have been. And, my partner, who's been my best friend for years, he was our best man at the wedding. His family's in the furniture business. So we linked up a little over 3 years ago and we try to create the biggest, best sofas and sectionals money can buy. So
how many more years do you think The Bachelor will bring you back? Because you guys are like...
I don't think it's been a while since he's been on. Were you on even Colton's?
No.
But not so much the old like the old advice, but like checking in with the family. I mean, I know you guys had three.
Is probably until the show.
As long as the show's on, there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But I like it just because we them our life.
Like we said, there's only a handful of success stories, so we get it, and we're happy to do it. You know, we like all the people that work on the shows. So we're always happy to partake.
At what point, if ever? Will you like tell like how, you know how like some parents will have like this thing they have to explain to their kids about like some, like how some weird situation about like their past.
Yeah.
Like yours is obviously normal, but have you guys had that conversation of like having to explain how mom and dad met? And then therefore, are you going to let them watch?
No, well, man.
So I actually had a videographer, an editor person. She edited our entire season with no other girls in it that are making out. So like they're girls in it and we're like having conversations, but she did she edited the entire season so that I could watch it without watching him make out with other girls.
Just all your moments.
It's all, well, and I like, you know, I want to see the other drama. Girls, group dates and stuff like in the drama, but just not the making out part. So they can watch that if they want. There's no way our kids are going to want to watch that.
I'm hoping, yeah. I'm hoping the boys will just have zero interest in it and will think it's super lame or something.
And until they start dating.
And then the girlfriends might care.
And their girlfriends will be like, wait, how'd your parents meet?
If it's still even a thing at that point. I mean, The Bachelor does amazing work, but when our kids start dating,
it'll probably still be rolling around.
It'll be interesting, but it will be out there. It'll be available. Like, you'll be able to find it.
It might be cute. And I
think it looks kind of cool. Ask us
if we'd let the kids be on it, and I don't care. I would let them be.
It's kind of weird because people will come up and, you know, ask if they can have their picture taken, and I don't think it registers with Samuel, our oldest. Like,
he's just like, why, I want to be in a picture. Just
why,
like,
strangers are doing that. But at some point, I guess he'll start to connect the dots.
It'll be interesting. Because wait, who had the first? No, well, like that, the first kid born in Bachelor Nation was.
That would have been Tristan Ryan.
Yeah, Tristan, right? How old are
they? They were 10 years prior to my season.
Yeah. Okay, so their kids are like getting into like teenage years.
Gotta be.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe like 13 or something.
I'm really curious, like, how that is, if they care, you know. I don't know.
I mean, she's the first bachelorette ever, so that, I mean, she has a big title.
Totally. So
I'm sure.
But I mean, I hear about my parents talking about how they met and how cool it would be for me to go back and like watch it. Would be, aww, you know,
yeah,
that is your romantic.
That is cool that I can show our kids the first time I laid eyes on their mom.
Yeah, that's
when we first kissed. That's really cool. Now the other stuff, cool. Not so cool.
But like the production value of our engagement and our wedding and all this stuff, like we would never have that documented otherwise. So it is very special to me.
Are you still as buff, Sean? They really opened up it once again with your whole routine.
You know, they were obsessed with that. And I went on The Bachelorette and I swore to myself, because I already thought I had these preconceived notions of like any guy that would do a show. And this is also hypocritical. Any guy that would do a show like that just has to be a D-bag. Like, because all I could picture were like the shirtless shots on the beach and stuff. And
the contemplating.
That, go on the show. Of course, immediately the producer's like, hey, come on. It'll be great. It'll look cool. You know, and you just kind of go along with it. And then the next thing you know, they just want you to do that the entire season. And then,
That's how I got on. I was watching your season. Yeah. I was watching your season and making fun of it.
Yeah.
Not specifically you, but I was like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. And my friend's wife at the time was telling me to shut up. And then, through me making fun of it, thought it'd be funny if she nominated me. And
I don't know if I can make fun of myself during the recap. I don't know if there's enough there. I'm sure there is, but
not really. I mean,
you know, I've always loved, as you know, Nick, giving people a hard time on Twitter, just out of good natured fun, right?
I was a big target of yours on Mandy season.
But I really wish that I could just go back and make fun of myself, because I know I did everything that I made fun of other people for doing. It's just, it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it never really bothered me. And I think you reached out to me right afterwards. And I only, because I'm a snarky guy myself. It's kind of like, you know, who am I to?
I just always assumed if you sign up to do a cheesy show like that, you deserve to have some shots taken at you. And
yeah, I do remember.
Right, none of mine were below the belt, but
you did call me a serial killer once, I think.
I would love to know the context. I'm sure there was a good reason for that. It sounds
really funny.
I think it was Nick looks like a serial killer. I don't know.
It's even funnier hearing you say it.
I'm sure there was more context around it, but I think I pretty much read it as like, well, that seems a bit harsh. I don't.
Well, that's the beauty of the joke. It's like so over the top.
I was like, the only person I'm going to kill right now is myself, because I want to die.
Like Nick looks like a jerk is not funny, because it's just not over the top, but Nick looks like a serial killer. I do
regret my hairstyle. I've seen some clips of Caitlin's season with the recapping next week, and it was just like, what was I doing? And the worst part about that is I spent way more time on my hair back then than I do now. I don't understand what I was doing. I don't know, but when they recap my season, I don't get to be like, and here's my like loving fiance, we're still together. I'm like, nope, I got a plant. It's like I painted that in my spare time. So that's cool. Life's great, you know. Quarantine's fine. I imagine having kids. I think I would be a good father. I don't know. Like,
well, you got a podcast out of it.
I do, you know? Yeah.
Come on. Kids podcast. I'm probably like, leaning podcast.
It's therapy. Well, I mean, I do have more free time. Yes, I get to watch whatever I want when I want, and that's great.
That is freedom.
And to bring it full circle, I think my kids might make me a serial killer because they're driving me insane. So, joke's on me in the end.
there you go. But you know, all serious, I'm very envious. Especially because I hope I'm lucky enough to have a boy someday. So were you pretty, are you one of those guys who was like, oh, I don't care as long as they're healthy? Or was there a little bit of an extra fist pump?
I think a lot of guys are like us where you want a boy. And I think it's just more so you had all these experiences. If you were fortunate enough to grow up with a good dad, you had all these experiences with your dad. So you just want to replicate that, right? So, you know, you have these visions of throwing the football and baseball and stuff like that.
That's why I teach my kid about sports. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, I mean, I would gladly teach my daughter about sports if she wants to, but, you know.
I was stoked. I keep hearing from all my guy friends who have daughters that as soon as they get a little older, like, they wrap you around your finger. So I imagine that's coming next for me with Mia. But the boy, I like it. I like the dynamic between me and my sons.
Well, that's fun, but it is exciting to see you guys grow your family and also your social media accounts because of your cute kids. That's a win. I gotta say, I'm very envious of that. Like, you know, I always joke with Tanner, you know, he's got the growing family too. It's just like, I gotta like come up with a stupid crap to post And you just have a throwaway Wednesday where you just post a picture of your adorable kid and just turn off your phone. Like, it's just so much, you know.
And they're a good shield, too, you know. If you're catching heat for any reason, just put off a picture of your kid and it deflects everything. Easy as that.
Wait, question. I don't know. Do you guys have like Instagram accounts for your kids?
No.
Are you guys ever going to, or like, what's your stance on that?
Yeah, I'm
not really interested in it.
I don't want to. I don't want to sound judgmental, but to me,
please do.
A lot of my friends have done this, right?
Yeah.
And it just feels weird for a child to have thousands of followers, like grown men and women following a child. That feels very weird to me.
I just imagine when parents are like thinking, how should we name our kids?
But before they even get to that step, they're like checking Instagram for available handles.
Yeah. Like,
well, how about
really?
I know that's happened.
There is no way that doesn't happen. And put it this way, if anyone has an Instagram account of their child pre-birth, then it's definitely right. It's definitely happened.
And I think there is
fine. It's fine, but it's
a private account that you can look back at. Because obviously, I liked looking back at my Instagram, being like, oh, "Okay, what did I do?"
You got 5 years photo ago. Albums in your phone for that.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the best of those 20 that I take that one moment.
Now, dogs. I'm all in favor of people having handles for their dogs.
Do you guys have a dog account?
We
don't.
No, we are.
But
no.
He loves dogs.
So I'm
following all.
I'm
the
just
dog
obsessed
accounts.
With dogs, and I do love my dog more than our children. I've made that known.
I've seen you tweet about it. Yeah.
Yeah, just a big dog fan. That's all there is to it. Just get a dog. Do you have a dog?
I don't. No.
Get a dog. It's way better than kids. There's no reason to be envious for kids. Go get a dog.
I should. I thought about during quarantine, because before that it was just like, I like dogs. I don't know if I appreciate them as much as you do, but it was just like, I'm always running around, and I felt like it'd be too selfish of me. Because it's just like,
you gotta get a dog that can travel with you, one that's your buddy, you know.
But not a small one.
Yeah, not a yippy dog.
I probably would end up doing that. I also have like a small allergies to dogs, so I have to get like one of those hyperallergenic dogs.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No, but like they tend to be smaller.
Well, there's
unless you get the doodle. Everyone's going for the doodles.
I know. Everyone's going to doodle. My parents have a Wheaton Terrier.
Those are good dogs. Nice. Yeah, those are friendly dogs.
They're jumpy. They're
high energy dogs. They're like perverts.
Yeah. I'm just like, calm down. I can't deal. You know?
Any conversation with him turns into dogs. So this is normal.
It's fine. This is, you know, people will love it. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for doing this when you have three little ones and put them to bed.
Good to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up. Just remind people where they can find you if they haven't found you on social media.
Oh, gosh.
At Catherine Giudici, Giudici, really.
I am at Sean Lowe KSU, I think. Yeah, Sean Lowe KSU, Instagram.
All right. All right, guys. I appreciate you guys jumping on. It was a lot of fun.
You got it, man.
And as always, guys, we do appreciate you listening. Be sure to check out tomorrow for an absolutely awesome episode with Tyler Merritt, who, if you don't know who Tyler is yet, you will definitely want to know who he is. We have some great conversations about diversity, the culture, things going on right now. It was very educational for me. I know you will enjoy listening to Tyler. He's just nice to listen to. It was a beautiful conversation, mostly because of him. And I really am thankful that Tyler took the time to have a chat with us. So please make sure to check that out tomorrow. I hope you guys do. Until then, thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.